Y'all here to worship the Lord this evening?
Yes.
Well, let's continue in our study of God's Word. Amen. I remind people all the time, worship doesn't stop when the band leaves the stage. We're here to worship the Lord in the study of His Word. Amen. That's so important to remember. Welcome to our Wednesday night service. I'm glad y'all are here. And I'm sure I'm glad the cooler weather is here too. Amen to that. So God is good. It's hard to believe we only have a few chapters left in the book of Ecclesiastes. But luckily there's books, you know, before and after, so we'll find something else, praise God. But let's finish chapter 9 and part of chapter 10. If you want to turn with me to Ecclesiastes 9, we'll start in the 13th verse. And just to remind us of last time, we talked about death and how death is actually a teacher. And we have a lot to learn from it, and it's the great equalizer in the sense of none of us can escape death. Unless the Lord comes back before we perish, we're all going to die. That's just part of it. But death is not something that is scary or bitter for the believer. It's actually something that we learned that was precious in the sight of God. And the other thing that we discussed in chapter 9 a couple weeks ago was that human ability does not guarantee success. If you look in 9:11, Solomon said, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. And how true that is. And so tonight, Solomon tells us a lot about wisdom. The title of our message tonight is Wisdom is Better. And he's going to tell us that wisdom is better than strength. That's what it says in verse 16. And that also wisdom is better than weapons of war. Imagine that in verse 18. And then he'll tell us that wisdom brings success in verse 10 of chapter 10. But what's clear from the study of God's Word is that wisdom is better than any resource that we can find on this earth. It's better than any abilities that you and I may have. But we live in a different time. We live in a different world. Just in the past 20 years, it's amazing how dramatically the world has changed. Amen? And we live in a time now where information is widely privileged over wisdom. We live in this great information age, and unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation out there. But we live in a time in which, have you heard the latest, is more pressing question than have you heard the truth? And that's a scary thing to really think about when we consider it. It's all about the latest this and the latest that, and half the people out there don't even have any worldly credentials to be even speaking. But hey, Solomon says wisdom is better. Let's look in 13 and we're going to read this before we go to the Lord in prayer. He says, this wisdom I have also seen under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it, besieged it, and built great snares around it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no one remembered that same poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Words of the wise, spoken quietly, should be heard rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom, and he shows everyone that he is a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your post, for conciliation pacifies great offenses. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, as an error proceeding from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, while the rich sit in a lowly place. I've seen servants on horses while princes walk on the ground like servants. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and whoever breaks through a wall will be bitten by a serpent. He who quarries stones may be hurt by them, and he who splits wood may be endangered by it. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. Amen to that. Let's look to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Dearly Father, we just first thank you for our time of fellowship to come together and worship you. And we just lift up, Father God, the people, the many from Cuba and Florida that are in the path of the hurricane. Lord, we just ask for your insurmountable grace and your mercy to come and bring comfort and to displace that storm and to protect those people, even our fellow countrymen. And for tonight, Father God, we just ask even now that you would help us to start preparing our hearts for communion, for the fellowship of our saints, and for the study of your word. We do live in a time where wisdom is actually despised. People want information, but they don't want revelation. They no longer want the truth, but they certainly want to be heard in their folly. But Father God, I ask that you would show us what the proper response is in these dark times, and how truly that your wisdom is better than anything that the world has to offer. And we rejoice that it is available to us, that you give it to us freely without reproach. We just praise you tonight, Father God. Remove the distractions from this week from our hearts and our minds, and let us be fully centered and focused on you and your word. And as I always pray, whether privately or publicly, God, just allow me to disappear, be in your perfect will, and do all things that are pleasing unto thy sight. It's in the precious Jesus, name of Jesus, that we pray, and God's saints say, amen. Don't you love Solomon? You know, I mean, I'm going to be sad when we get to chapter 12. I'm just letting you know. But we have a powerful example of wisdom. Look in 13 again. He says, this wisdom I've also seen under the sun. Remember, he was limited to what was on earth in his survey. And it seemed great to me. Some translations say it greatly impressed me. This is the first time Solomon's ever said this in the entire book. This made a big impression upon his heart. And he gives us a parable to illustrate this. This parable shows us the influence of just one man's or one woman's wisdom. And Solomon is saying, when a person who loves the Lord is operating in his wisdom, listen, you are one powerful person before God. And that's important to see. The world standards are quite different, especially in terms of their evaluation of wisdom. But in the eyes of God, it's vastly important. But let's look at this parable he gives us, 14 and 15. He says, there was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it, besieged it, built great snares around it. And there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no one remembered that same poor man. A great king, he comes against a city, not much of a city. Great snares are against it. And we have a poor man here. He has wisdom, though. We don't even know his name. And somehow, he delivered the city by his wisdom. Someone who was insignificant by the standards of the world, God used mightily. And it was by his wisdom he delivered the city. Now, notice how it tells us how he did it. Oh, wait, it doesn't. See, that's not the point. The point is that God's wisdom through him did it. And we don't have to worry about the end result. We only have to worry about focusing on the Lord and walking in him. He'll worry about the rest. He'll worry about tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that. Amen? We only have to live for him today. But often, and I think we all do this, we underestimate the power of one who is walking in the wisdom of God. If we didn't, we would be more apt to vote. But a lot of us think even our vote doesn't count. We don't think that we have any influence. Or we're maybe at a job and we're the only believer there, and we think, well, there's no way that anything that I say can change the tide, especially because my boss is an unbeliever. Hey, when you have the wisdom of God, in the eyes of God, you have access to a supernatural power and insight that is beyond anything that is found in this world. And that is available to us as believers. All we have to do is ask. He's not going to rebuke us, James says, for what we don't know, but he's going to give it to us liberally, without reproach. That's the God that we serve. But we can't make it in this life without wisdom. But we often underestimate the power of one. And one of my favorite examples is in 2 Samuel, the 20th chapter. I want to read it to you. It's in verses 15 through 22. And David had sent Joab, and Joab, man, he was one bad dude. You know what I mean? I mean, you send him, he's going to take care of it. You know, we need a Joab on staff, Pastor. But anyway, to handle our dirty work. But anyway, he says this. Then they came and besieged him at Abel of Beth-Maha. And they cast up a siege mount against the city and stood up by the rampart. And all the people who were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. Then it says, a wise woman cried out from the city. And she says, "Here, here, please say to Joab, come nearby that I may speak with you." And when he had come near to her, the woman said, "Are you Joab?" And he answered, "I am." And then she said to him, "Hear the words of your maidservant." And he said, "I'm listening." And this is what she says. "They used to talk in former times, saying they shall surely seek the guidance of Abel. And so they would end disputes. I am among the peaceable and faithful in Israel. You seek to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why would you swallow up the inheritance of the Lord?" And this is what Joab said. Far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. That is not so, but a man from the mountains of Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bichri, he by name has raised his hands against the king, against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city." So the woman says this to Joab, "Watch, his head will be thrown to you over the wall." What a woman, you know what I mean? And then she says this, "Then the woman, in her wisdom," it says, something that is from the Lord, "went out to all the people, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and threw it out to Joab. And then Joab blew a trumpet, and they withdrew from the city, every man to his tent. And so Joab returned to the king at Jerusalem." That city wasn't destroyed. It was about to be. But just one woman, not a soldier, not anyone mighty, but someone that was powerful in the eyes of God because she had his wisdom, changed everything. And it is easy to go through this life ignoring what truly makes a person influential, because the world standards are so different, even ever so more today, than what God's word says, because it's not your education. That's not what makes a person influential. It's not your family name or your background. And it certainly isn't your job or the amount of money you possess. But what truly makes a person influential is the wisdom of God. That is a divine attribute of God. Remember in Proverbs 8 that wisdom predates creation. It was actually there, and God used wisdom as a master craftsman. And it said daily was his delight. But look at the world's reaction, because if you think that wisdom is going to have people coming in to see you like Solomon, you're wrong. It says in verse 15 at the end, "Yet no one remembered that same poor man." You know, when you're walking in the wisdom of God, which one, I think, simple definition, but very true, is the ability to discern between good and evil is wisdom. But when you're walking in the wisdom of God, you know, you do what God wants you to do. You do what God's word says, whether anyone's doing it or not. No matter what you face, no matter the situation, even in the tough times, even if no one else is even responding to what you say, the wise man, the wise woman is going to do what is right in the sight of God. And even though this city, you look at the whole city, didn't remember. I mean, you would think if somebody saved this chapel right now, I mean, we were surrounded, and one person, one little old lady from Grace Connection comes out, you know what I mean? And just saves us all. Do you think you would remember her the next week? Man, I would think so too. But you know what? People that walk in God's wisdom often are not remembered. They're not valued. And that's not the point of it. But the main thing that we have to remember is God will never forget. He'll never forget. And our accountability is unto him, not to the people of this world. I don't need to try to please people. I want to love people with the love of Jesus Christ. But we want to do all things, just as Jesus says, that are pleasing unto the Father. It says in Hebrews 6, 9 through 10, "But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, the things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner." And he says, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister So God will never forget your work. He will never forget your labor of love and the things that you've done, or the things that even no one knows about, or perhaps the things that you've done for your family and they have seemingly forgotten. We have to remember that first we did it as unto the Lord, right? I mean, we always want to do everything as unto the Lord, but we have to remember God didn't forget. It doesn't matter if my family forgot. It doesn't matter if my boss forgot or my friends. What matters is God didn't forget. And in him is my reward. Jesus said in Matthew 10:42, and whoever gives these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Amen. And so Solomon gives us here just three quick insights about wisdom being better. And this is 16 through 18. So Solomon said, then I said, this is his conclusion to the parable he gave us. Wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words not heard. How true that is, that wisdom is often not heeded, but it's also usually despised. People hate wisdom. They despise the truth. It's amazing the spiritual battle that comes when you're walking in the wisdom of God in the midst of people who are walking in the ways of the world. The difference is night, and is different as night as is day. But this first insight that he gives us, just a quick one, is wisdom is better. It is superior than strength. It will always save the day. But that's not what the world teaches. It's usually your abilities or your bank account or your connections that you have. That's what's going to save the day, right? Not according to the Lord. In Ecclesiastes 7:19, he said, Solomon, that wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of the city. Proverbs tells us to seek wisdom as a treasure. It says in Proverbs 2:4-5, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Praise the Lord. So he says, listen, don't ever forget that wisdom is way, way better than strength. And it always will be. But also he says that the second insight we see is that often there's a failure to listen to wisdom. Look in 17. Words of the wise spoken quietly, not that they should be spoken quietly, he's contrasting this, okay? Should be heard rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. Now, maybe you've noticed this before. Maybe it's in your workplace. But just because a person is in authority, does that mean that they have wisdom? No, it doesn't. I think about 90% of you thought of your supervisor just now. Amen? How did they get to that position? But the simple fact is, loved one, is that the world, it doesn't value wisdom. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that if the world really listened to the wisdom of God, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. So the world shuns wisdom. They don't listen to it. It's not something that is important to them. But the third thing he says is that the damage that one sinner can do towards the wisdom of God. Verse 18 says, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. I like what one scholar said regarding this verse. He said that wisdom has no built-in guarantees. It can be thwarted by power, verbosity, and clamor, which is just what Solomon said, one sinner destroys much good. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 5:6, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? And so what he's saying is folly is dangerous because it actually hurts. It actually does damage to the work of God. Think about that. And in chapter 10 here, it continues this thought from chapter 9 because he gives us some parables about folly so we really understand the value of wisdom. You know, sometimes we learn what something is best by learning what it is not. Amen? And so the exact opposite of wisdom is folly. And so he's going to give us some very important parables about this because, like I said, it's the direct opposite of God's wisdom. When we studied Proverbs, I talked quite often about the fool and folly. And in Proverbs, I just wrote down a couple of things from a point from another sermon. when we covered Proverbs. According to Proverbs, the fool is one who is adulterous. The fool is also one who is not wise with their money. They don't handle money well at all. They're also one who tears down people with their words. They do a lot of damage in that way. That's a characteristic of a fool. And not only that, they have improper motivations. You'll often find that a fool has an agenda with the things that they do and the things that they say. But foolishness, guys, is something that God hates. And this isn't acting silly or you know, telling jokes or whatever, although that can encompass foolishness. But what foolishness or folly is, it is the complete devoid of God's wisdom in our lives. And it's so important we see that. And this is why he said in verse 1, dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. You know, in the Hebrew, folly or foolishness in Ecclesiastes actually means thick-headed. You know anybody thick-headed? Yeah, you're looking at him right now, let me tell you. Solomon tells us four things, guys, and I think this is what's really important here. And it's four things about folly. It's really easy to let a little bit of folly in our lives and think we're justified or it's not going to really do much damage, or we look and see how other people are living and we think, you know, we can probably get away with this because we're in church and we're in the Word and we tithe, et cetera, et cetera. But what we find first in these first three verses of chapter 10 is that folly does something. It damages your reputation. Folly damages your reputation. One small mistake is what Solomon is saying here, makes the smell of folly greater than the fragrance of wisdom. Think about that. It emits a stinking odor, which really actually means there, it's a reference in the Hebrew to deceitful speech, trash coming out of our mouths. And the fact is, he says, folly's already in our hearts. It's a problem with the flesh. I don't have to go outside the church to find folly or outside my home. It's already because we're fallen in our nature and we still have this old sin man. Is there not a battle to do what's right in the eyes of God every day? Well, yeah, absolutely there is. Why? Because folly's in our hearts. And we need the wisdom of God to put it in check. Verse 2 says, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's is at his left. Just like Proverbs 4:23 tells us, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Is there not a constant temptation just to have a little bit of folly in our lives? I mean, just a little bit. To compromise, whether it be on something we're watching on TV or reading or somewhere that we're going to eat or people that we're fellowshipping with. Or maybe it's just using a verse to out of context to justify your sin or lifestyle. Let me tell you, it's really easy to let a little folly creep into our lives. Amen? It is. It really is. Because there's a constant temptation for it. But the thing is, folly, unlike wisdom, is something that is easily recognized. Amen? It's real easy to spot folly. A blind person can spot folly. It's very easy to see. You see it in their actions and the things that they say. It's very, very easy. It's not hidden. It's out in the open. But it damages our witness. It damages our reputation. And that's what Solomon's saying. In verse 3 says, even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom, and he shows everyone that he is a fool. So unlike wisdom, like I said, that's usually not recognized and it certainly isn't remembered. It's not valued. Well, folly, it's easy to recognize. And folly in the life of the believer, it damages our reputation. It damages our witness because folly in a believer's life is easy to spot, even by an unbeliever. Why? Because it's out of character. It's in complete contrast to what God's Word says is a believer. And you know, often I think Christians feel this pressure from the world, from the world's eye. And the thing is, we have to put our trust in the Lord. You know, I have people say all the time, oh man, that, you know, you came and prayed for my mom. This is outside the church. And man, you just wouldn't believe what you did. And I said, listen, if anything good happened, it was from the Lord, loved one. It wasn't from me. I just prayed for it. Oh, but you were there. I said, I'm just an instrument. It has nothing to do with me. I said, the power of prayer is not the one who prays it. It's the one who hears it. We have to remember that. I mean, there's power in prayer. But listen, anytime the world is looking at us and trying to elevate us, listen, we need to go ahead and point them towards the Lord, point them towards Jesus, and especially even our own brothers and sisters in Christ. But we have to put our trust in the Lord. You know, a quick New Testament summary of folly versus wisdom is in Galatians, that it says in Galatians 5:16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fill the lust of the flesh, or folly. I could have said that tonight, closed up and prayed, and that should have been it. Amen? I mean, it's the truth. We walk in the Spirit. We walk in the will of the Lord. We want to do all things that are pleasing unto Him. So folly, it damages our witness, it damages our reputation, but also, secondly, a little folly demands much patience, demands a lot of patience. It's a lot easier to deal with folly when it's someone that you are overseeing, but when it is your superior, when it's your boss, hey, that's a different story. Amen? Yes, three of you, the rest of you are lying. Let's look in 4-7. He says, if the spirit of the ruler, the guy in charge, rises against you, do not leave your post, for conciliation pacifies great offenses. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, as an heir proceeding from the ruler. Folly sat in great dignity, while the rich sit in a lowly place. I have seen servants on horses while princes walk on the ground like servants. Verse 4 here has the only command in this section besides verse 20. We'll do verse 20 next week. It says, do not leave your post. But you know, most people do. We really do. Christians can be some of the worst. We get offended, someone hurt our feelings, and we quit. It's a great sign of spiritual maturity when a conflict happens and you're serving in the church and you're able to work it out and grow and get over it instead of leaving your post. You know, if God tells you to step out and serve in an area, and I've seen this over the years, I've been in ministry my whole life, I see it over and over. Oh yeah, God told me to serve. And you know what? The devil sends in someone to cause discord, puts in a little bit of folly. And you know what happens? It destroys everything. Destroys everything. And what do? They leave their post. Well, I thought God told you to go there. I'm going to preach here in a second. We get angry. We get upset. Our feelings get hurt, and we quit. And it's not just the fact that we quit, it's the fact that we do not see it as sin. A lot of times we feel justified in it, and I say it with conviction in my heart, loved one. But especially, we feel justified when we're dealing with someone who is a fool or who is foolish. And they're our boss or our superior or supervisor. And it's easy to feel justified in leaving our post. You know, I was yesterday meeting with a guy I've known forever, and he's owned a large electrical company for about 40 years now, very successful. And he said, Thomas, you know, I've never seen anything like this in the workforce the last couple of years. He said, I can find employees, but I can't find workers. How true that is. I hope we have laborers for the Lord, because we have a harvest. He said, you know, I had one person meet with me, or two people meet with me at two different occasions, he said, this month. And he said they only wanted to work 25 hours a week. And he said, okay, that's fine. I can work with a couple part-time workers. And they said, oh, no. We'll work 25 hours a week, but we want to be paid for 50 hours. That's called a lot of folly, not a little bit of folly. You know, work is a gift from God. It's a wonderful thing to be able to get out every day, even if you're working from your home, and do everything you do as unto the Lord. Because a Christian should shine and outshine any unbeliever in any workplace, at any job, whether how humbling it may be seen in the sight of the world or how great it may be seen in the sight of man. We should do everything that we do as unto the Lord. Why? Because people are watching. And that's where we have joy. I mean, we've learned already from Ecclesiastes that just the ability to enjoy what we do, even to be able to enjoy the money in our bank accounts, it's a gift from God. Apart from Him, there is no joy. There is no enjoyment in what we do. 1 Peter in chapter 2, 18-19 tells us, servants, Be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh or the foolish, we could say. For this is commendable if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Listen, if you're going through a hard time at your workplace, that should be on the background of your phone. That should be something that you read every single day. Why? Because we need the wisdom of God to face the foolishness in this world, especially when it is our superior. Because a sign of great Christian maturity is to rule one's spirit. I don't want to not be able to control my own spirit. That should bother us, amen? It should bother us if we can't put anger in check by the power of the Holy Spirit, because a victory over ourselves, over our inner spirit, is much greater than a victory over others. Much greater. And in it, we will win many more people to the Lord. Proverbs 16:32 tells us, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Man, how true is that? I love what George Herbert said. He said, be calm in arguing, for fierceness makes error a fault and truth a discourtesy. How true that is. I love that Solomon said in Proverbs 22 that the wrath of the king is like a roaring lion. Whoever provokes him to anger sins against his own life. So especially when it is a superior and they're wrong, it said earlier there was an error proceeding from the ruler. They're making bad decisions. They're putting people in places that they shouldn't be. And they're over you and you're doing what's right. You're working hard and you've been faithful. Listen, we have to have patience. It demands it. And you know, you don't really think about that when you think about dealing with folly. But man, we need a lot of patience for that. It says in Proverbs 12:16, a fool's wrath is known at once, amen? But a prudent man covers shame. So folly, man, that is something that demands patience in our lives. And in order to have the proper response, listen, we have to be walking in the wisdom of God. Apart from that, we'll never have the right response. You know, we learned too that wisdom is prudent. There's prudence in wisdom. It knows how to say things the right way. Not to hurt people. When it says that that those who seek souls are wise, or it's not just talking about winning people to Christ, although that's really wise, but it's talking about dealing with the inner character, the inner heart of an individual. And it's saying, listen, when you have wisdom in your life, you go after the heart. You don't waste your time on the superficial. You get to know that individual. You're listening to the Lord to see what He lays on your heart to impress upon them. To speak to them from His word. Wisdom is gentle and it listens, and we have to have patience in order to deal with this folly. I mean, it is only found in God's wisdom. But three, folly deserves God's judgment. That's 8-9. He says, he who digs a pit will fall into it, and whoever breaks through a wall will be bitten by a serpent. Now, in a proverb, when you dig a pit, its purpose is to cause someone to go astray. It's to cause someone to fall. This isn't like you're digging a pit for a well or a foundation or setting a fence post. You know, it's actually trying to cause another person to stumble. That's what we're speaking of here. And then when it says breaking through a wall, it means you're causing damage to another's property. What is he saying? He's saying vindictiveness has great consequences. Great. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You see, we put ourselves in the seat of the judge of all judges, the judge of the earth and of heaven, when we say, oh, I'm going to judge that individual. That's a very dangerous place to be. You know, we need to judge ourselves lest we be judged. But man, Solomon is saying, listen, folly deserves the judgment of God. In verse 8, this person is intentionally trying to cause harm. He is intentionally trying to cause this person to fail. And in Proverbs 28:10, it says, whoever causes the upright to go astray in an evil way, and here's where we learn what a pit is, he himself will also fall into his own pit. But the blameless will inherit good. So a person walking in the wisdom of God, man, it knows that vengeance is the Lord's. He's going to repay. He's going to sort everything out. And we lay that at His feet and we keep going in the work of the Lord. We don't worry about the folly. We know how to respond to it properly. But what is sad about this, and it's easy to miss in these two verses here, is that even though the fool is going to be judged, and praise the Lord, folly will be in the fool, it still may hurt good people in the process. See, that's how destructive just a little bit of folly can be in our lives. Look at 9 again. He who quarries stones may be hurt by them, and he who splits wood may be endangered by it. Now, are those bad things? No, I mean, there's nothing wrong with working in a quarry, right? Or chopping wood. It could be dangerous. I mean, my dad never let me touch tools for good reason. That's why I still have all my fingers. But, you know, listen, the fact that I'm serious, as clumsy as I was, I mean, it's a miracle that I was able to walk on the stage. But, you know, these aren't bad things, but the point here that is being made is, like I said, it's easy to miss. But what Solomon is saying is, listen, if good people that are doing good things may be hurt by them, how much more folly and foolishness will be judged? You see, it's not a laughing matter. And that's why he's really trying to send this home in our minds so we truly understand that folly damages our reputation. It's our witness. When we are dealing with folly, it demands the patience that's only from the Lord, but it deserves God's judgment. But the fourth one is in verse 10. I think this is the most tragic. Folly dulls the axe. It says that the axe is dull, and one does not sharpen the edge or whetteth the edge. Then he must use more strength, but wisdom brings success. It says that folly, it dulls the axe. Who is the axe? We are. Don't miss the point. Folly dulls the blade of that axe. You know, if the axe is dull, you're going to work yourself to death. I mean, have you ever tried to work with a tool that was broken or hadn't been maintained or taken care of? It's an absolute nightmare. You might as well just give up. It's going to wear you out. I remember as a little boy, you know, my father was a master carpenter, and he used to tell me, you know, a good carpenter takes care of his tools. But what he also told me, I'll never forget, he said, you can rather work for that tool or your tools can work for you. And you know, that's really true. You rather know how to use a shovel or you're going to sit out there all day and you're not going to get anywhere, you know, because I did that before. And then you watch him and it just, man, you got a 3-foot hole in 5 minutes. Well, what's the difference? Well, besides a lot of wisdom and age, you know, he knew how to use the tool. He took care of it. He understood how it worked. And instead of the tool, him working for the tool, well, the tool worked for him. So verse 10 here is saying, or it's dealing specifically with the wise use of our abilities, what God has given to us. Are we being a steward over everything, even our own abilities that he's given unto us? It's a very important question because sharpening the axe, according to Proverbs, is actually gaining God's wisdom. That's how we sharpen the blade. See, we don't have to be a bunch of dull axe heads. We don't have to be dull in our personalities either. Some of you need some prayer for that. That's okay. Here's the thing, though. It doesn't take a lot of folly. Just a little. Just that fly in that perfumer's ointment. Just a little drop of folly, a drop of sin in a believer's life is like dulling the axe head of our lives. Man, and that's tragic. That should make us upset in our spirits. And I don't want that. I don't want to be dull and ineffective, and I don't want to work harder than I have to, amen? I want a sharp blade. I want to make some progress. I want to be successful in the eyes of God. But we can't accomplish the calling on our lives, and we can't even accomplish our personal goals and ambitions apart from the wisdom of God. It has to be under His guidance. As Solomon said in Proverbs 12:15, he said, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel, he who sharpens the axe, guys, is wise. They have wisdom in their lives. And as Pastor Bill's told us in this year of revolution, we are fighting for a kingdom that suffers violence. But the violent, those who sharpen their tools, when under the wisdom and direction of God, they take it by force. That's what Matthew 11:12 says. You see, it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. It's the person of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. I prayed for a woman the other day. She turned 87 years old. Loves the Lord. Went through some health problems, a lot of fear. And I prayed and the Holy Spirit just manifested His presence. And she said, "What is that?" And I said, "No, who is that?" I said, "That's not a power and that's not a force, although He is powerful." I said, "But that is the person of the Holy Spirit." And I said, "He is manifesting Himself to you in a special way to bring you encouragement." I said, "But He is reminding you that He lives in you. Whether you feel Him or not, He is always there." Got a text from her daughter today. "You don't know what you did." And I said, "No." I said, "If anything was good, it was the Lord." I said, "All praise be to Him." I said, "All I did was tell her what God's word says and prayed for her. I just got to be an instrument, just got to be used by God. But man, I want to be a sharp axe. I don't want to be dull, especially if I want to hit a couple fools." You know what I'm saying? No. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." We walk carefully. We walk in a prudent way. "Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." And they certainly are. "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Man, wisdom is better, loved one. It's better than any asset that is found on this earth. It is the divine application of God's holiness in everything that we think, everything that we say, and everything that we do. And it is available to us freely. But we just need to come in faith. Not doubting, not wavering, not coming with our own agenda or our own ideas, but accepting what God's word says and saying, "Hey, I'm here. I believe you're going to give it to me, and I'm asking for it. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for not rebuking me for what I don't know." I mean, that's kind of how I would feel. I'm going and ask God for wisdom, and I think He'd just slap me around because I'm so stupid, but He doesn't do that. He says, "Thank you for being obedient. Thank you for coming to me how I've asked you to. Now let me give you my wisdom." And I need a double dose. I don't know about you. An old scholar said this as I close, and Pastor will come up and we'll partake of the Lord's Supper. But he said, "Fight. Though it may cost thy life, storm the kingdom, but prevail. Let not Satan's fiercest strife make thee, warrior, faint or quail. Art thou faithful? Then oppose sin and wrong with all thy might. Careless how the tempest blows, only care to win the fights." Amen. And we can only do that under the wisdom and the direction of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to have His wisdom. And it is better than strength. It's better than anything that we could find on this earth. Amen. Let us just pray. Oh, Father God, forgive us for any folly that we've allowed in our lives. What a deception, Father God, to think that it's okay just to have a little bit. Just a little bit of sin. Just a little bit of transgression. No. We should be looking unto You, or the author and the finisher of our faith. Forgive us for allowing folly in our lives, whether it be through people or through our own actions. Maybe it's simply through the lack of the study of Your word and having a quiet time. But Lord, expose those areas in our lives and help us to remove any folly that's there, because we know it'll be judged. But Lord, more than ever, we need Your wisdom. We live in a dark time in which we need Your wisdom to not only make it, but also to point people to Jesus. Lord, we don't want to damage our reputation as Christians, but we want to do all things that are pleasing unto Your sight and bring as many people as we can to heaven with us. Lord, thank You for the love that You have for us, and we just rejoice in the wisdom that is available unto us. It truly is better than anything this world has to offer. Forgive us for not seeing it as the divine attribute from You that it truly is. Help us to never be a bunch of dull axe heads, ineffective, working in our own strength. But let everything be done through Your power and Your love and Your might, guided by Your wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.